1 is entitled Understanding the Last Days. Now, I have a couple of verses of Scripture that I really didn't include these in the notes, but every week we're going to hand out these notes because I want you to be able to take this with you and be able to use it and study it and go over these verses of Scripture and think about the things that are presented, and I believe that you will grow and you will have a better understanding and you will possess knowledge at a greater level. But there's two passages that I want to submit into these notes today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, and Galatians 4, 4 to 5. Because, first of all, to understand the last days. Now, the biblical term last days is a reference to the final time period of human history in which prophesied world events will transpire. Now, the coming of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection that followed, was the commencement of the last days time period. So when we say last days, it's not referring to the last 24-hour days. It's referring to a last time period. So the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament, the entire time period of the New Testament, from present history right now here today, represents the last days. So we have been in the last days for 2,000 years already. So let me illustrate that. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, notice the phrase there, that God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. All right, so I want you to keep that in mind, and I want you to go to Galatians 4 and verse 4. It says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come. All right, so I want you to notice that fullness of time phrase, and then what we have in Hebrews chapter 1, that God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. All right, the time past is the Old Testament era. God hath in these last days, this present era that we are in, this present generation, he has spoken to us by Jesus Christ. All right, so the last days is the final age before God intervenes in human history and establishes a new heaven and a new earth. The last days are not just a time period where biblical prophecy is fulfilled. It is a day of salvation when people can hear the gospel and they make a decision to accept or to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. All right, now I wanted to insert these two passages of Scripture because I wanted to point out something to you with the usage of the word time and the word times. All right, both of those words that we find here in Hebrews 1 and in Galatians 4, it is the Greek word chronos, and it literally means time in sequence or a succession of moments. In other words, it means chronological time. All right, so we get our English word chronology or chronological from this Greek word chronos, because that's what it means. It means time in sequence. It means a succession of moments. It means a chronological timeline. All right, so when we make a reference to the last days, we are really talking about the entire New Testament period that began at the time of Christ. Everybody got that? Now, having said that, what we need to focus on and understand is a last days generation. So let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 32. Jesus speaking, and he said this. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." All right, so Jesus just gave us what is called the Olivet Discourse, where he begins to detail the signs of the times and the end of the age, or the end of the last days period. All right, so what we find here now, and this is really what we really need to focus on, is a last days generation, is that God's word describes a last days generation. Now, a biblical generation is 30 to 40 years. All right, so if we look at a last days generation, then we would say the last 30 or 40 years before Jesus Christ returns. Because the term last days is a very broad term, because now it's been going on for over 2,000 years. But the last days generation is the last 30 to 40 years of time of human history as we know it prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. So I think it's very important that we see that. So Jesus said, this generation, the last days generation, will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. What are the all things? Everything that is presented here in Luke 21. You could also go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and see Matthew's rendition of it. But let's see three things here that God's Word describes a last days generation. First of all, that people that we're talking about, the people that are living just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that would be the people that are living in the last 30 to 40 years of the last days. Because again, last days is not 24-hour days as you and I know it. It is a time period of years. God in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken by his son Jesus Christ. And then Galatians 4, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth. In other words, the chronological timeline, according to God, the time had come for Jesus to make an appearance the first time. So guess what? There's a chronological timeline when Jesus makes a second appearance to rescue his people, to take us out of this world. And that is what we call the rapture. We'll deal with that next week. All right, so there would be people living. The last days generation is the people living just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Are we in that last 30 to 40 year period? I believe there is a very distinct possibility that we are, yes. Now, where are we in it? I have no idea. Nobody can really answer that question. But I think that we are definitely in that period. I mean, every indicator would say yes, that we are in that last generation. All right, here's the second thing. A specific generation, this is what God's word is describing when it talks about a last days generation. First of all, it would be the people living just prior to the coming of Christ. Second thing, it would be a specific generation that will possess certain characteristics and will participate in the events of the last days. Now, the Bible talks about what is called the mystery of iniquity. In other words, that things would get worse and worse and worse. Immorality would get worse and worse and worse. Television would get worse and worse. Do y'all think we're there yet? Certain characteristics. We'll talk about that more as we move forward in the weeks to come. But there will be certain characteristics, a specific generation that will possess certain characteristics. These are the people that will be primary characters of the last days. And we see that all around us. Here's a third thing. It is the generation that will see the literal triumphant return of Jesus Christ. So as we already said, are we that generation? We could very well be. So it's very, very important that we understand what the last days terminology means. Because the last days is that last time period that we are now in. It is also called the age of grace or the age of the church. It is the age where the gospel is being preached. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. That's why we are commissioned by God to continue to preach the word. We go into various nations and we preach the gospel because everyone must hear. Jesus commissioned us to take the gospel around the world because everyone must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are in that age of the gospel, that age of the Spirit. We preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts people, and they come to salvation in Christ. Not everyone will be saved. Right? Not everyone will be saved. But we continue to preach it. Because there are some that will. There are many that will be born again. Not everyone will be convinced. Not everyone will exercise faith. There will be many, many people that will go into eternity without God's gift of salvation. And unfortunately, they will be eternally separated from the eternal presence of Almighty God. This is what the gospel teaches. So let's move on. We got a lot of ground to cover here and a very small amount of time to do it. Because we're in class this morning, praise God. All right, so let's move on to the second main thing on our outline, world conditions of the last days. All right, here's what Jesus said again. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. There will be signs. Jesus said, there will be signs. Signs in the sun. Signs in the moon. Signs in the stars. On earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, does that mean hurricanes? Does that mean tsunamis? I think it means all of those things. That God would begin to speak through the earth and the things that are happening on the earth. World conditions of the last days. We're going to define some areas here. First of all, I want to define the geopolitical condition. Geopolitics is the study or the application of the influence of political and economic geography on the politics, national power, foreign policy, etc. of a state. That is what geopolitical condition is, or geopolitics, that's what it is. It is the study of the influence of such factors as geography, economics, and demography on the politics, and especially the foreign policy of a state. Now, the president has been making some deals with Iran, trying to make a nuclear deal with Iran. We have now opened up dialogue with Cuba. This is an example of geopolitics. When Saddam Hussein invaded Iraq, 1991, Gulf War resulted from that. That is another example of geopolitics. Last year, Russia invading the Ukraine. Another example of geopolitics. So we can understand that this is a big one, is it not? You know, the things that are happening politically. The things that, and that's why we, you know, if you really want to stay in tune to Bible prophecy, you have to watch world rulers. Now, I've been asked this question, you know, do I believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist? No, I do not believe that he is the Antichrist. But I will say this. I do believe that at times he operates under the Antichrist spirit. And I will show you when we in lesson three, when we talk about the Antichrist spirit, I will show you from the Word of God things to look for. I'm not trying to tell you to not trust politicians. I'm trying to tell you be very careful and watch what they say and watch what they do. Because the political arena is huge. When you start talking about biblical prophecy, the political arena is huge. It's big. You know, so these are all examples of geopolitics, because it is the study of the influence, geography, economics, demography on the politics and the foreign policy of a state. ISIS is another example. You know, another example of geopolitics in action. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, probably one of the greatest examples of geopolitics. You know, so all of that falls under the category in Luke 21:25, where it says on the earth there will be a distress of nations with perplexity. A distress. There will be a distress of nations. Now, I really truly believe that God is not going to just sit idly by and not stir things up in the United States of America. And I believe we have to be ready, because the Lord is very patient. And the Bible says that His long-suffering is extended towards all of humanity, because God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But there is a tipping point when God gets angry. And we could pray, God bless America, all we want. But if we continue to despise His law and His word, then we're fools. You know, we're fools. Because God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So I don't think that we could have a more appropriate subject than what we have here before us today. And this school of prophecy, because at the end of this 6 weeks, I guarantee you're going to learn some things, and you're going to be smarter and wiser, and you will be biblically educated, because we live in a, it's amazing, but with all of the churches we have, all of the gospel preaching on television and radio, you know, all of the books and the materials and the Bibles, it is amazing that we still live in a society that is biblically illiterate. Biblically illiterate. They don't have any idea. There's no word in them. And that's why Jesus said the word must be in us. World conditions. God in His Word said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Every nation, God said, will be shaken. Geopolitics. So we need to be very, very aware of this one. You know, because this one is big. It's huge. All right, let me move on. I got a lot of ground to cover. Number two, here's the second thing. Under the world conditions and the geopolitical condition, there will be signs in the heavenlies and in the oceans and in the seas. We've already begun to see that. There's even books right now, the Blood Moons, that have been written by, I know there's two pastors in particular that have addressed these signs in the heavenlies. I haven't read either of those books, but I know they're out there, and they deal with some of the signs that are taking place in the heavenlies. But my friends, we need to realize God's word, Jesus said it right here, that would be part of it, that there would be signs in the heavenlies and the oceans and in the seas. And the third thing, the distress of nations, this is what it means. There would be political uprisings, power struggles, and there would be a lack of essentials to meet the needs of the people. Distress of nations, political uprisings, power struggles. We see all of that right now, do we not? Now, we know there was a crazed kid that just last week went into a Christian church, and a black Christian church, and unloaded his gun and killed 9 people. And I mean, you know, people are the, whatever is captivating their mind, whatever is seducing their mind, I tell you, it's the devil that's doing it. Amen. But you know, but this is where we are. You know, how could anyone have such a demented world view? You know, when God says in His Word that when we come to Christ, we are all one people. We are all of one blood. But we live in a world now where people are wanting to, you know, again, this is all geopolitical stuff. You know, Timothy McVeigh, when he bombed the Federal Center in Oklahoma back in the 90s. I mean, this is all geopolitical stuff. People's minds get seduced and they get so filled with hatred and they want to kill and murder. And the Bible says that it's the devil who steals and kills and destroys. You know, all of this is because there is a distress. You know, there's uprisings and power struggles and people's mind gets seduced by the devil, and he begins to just twist it to their belief system is so messed up that all they want to do is kill and murder and harm innocent lives. You know, but that's where we are. People are concerned about ISIS today, and you know, and how barbaric they are, and all of the things that they do. You know, because there's a worldview, there's a thought process in their mind that is not rooted and grounded in the Bible as the Word of God, but it's a geopolitical example again, you know, of their purpose of what they want to accomplish, and for whatever reason they think that they are they're doing the right thing. Even Jesus said to the Jews that were following him, because all of his disciples, how many of you know, they were all of Jewish origin. And he said, the time will come when they will kill you and they will think they are doing God a favor. Amazing. Amazing. You know, so where are we in this timeline? We are in the last days period. Now, the big question is, are we in the last days generation? And again, I think that there is a very strong possibility that we are. All right, let's move on. Here's the next thing. Let's talk about, because we're dealing with these world conditions of the last days, let's talk about religious conditions. Oh, I tell you, when we get to lesson 3, week after next, it's going to blow your mind, because we're going to define in detail the Antichrist spirit and what it's doing and how it's operating. And Antichrist is coming, but his spirit has been working for a long, long time. And he's working today more than ever. So let's talk about religious conditions. I've also been asked the question, is the Pope the Antichrist? I have the same answer. No, I don't believe he is, but I believe at times he operates under the Antichrist spirit. When we get to that lesson, I'll show you why I make statements like that. But we have to look at the religious world. See, the spirit of the Antichrist, let's understand what it is. It is the satanic rebellion that is at work to seduce the hearts of people away from Christ and the Word of God. We have to stay true to the Word of God. Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." All right, so he says it right here that there is going to be mass deception. Mass deception. Because it's going to work in the political arena, and it's going to work in the religious arena. So there will be mass deception. Jesus said it right here, that many, many will be deceived. If you go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and read on, you will find that he also said many things in reference to that. He also said that if it were possible, he said the deception would be so strong that if it were possible that even the very elect, the chosen of God, would be deceived. That's how strong deception will be. You know, it's very strong today. All right, religious conditions. Here's the next thing. There will be a satanically inspired religious system that accepts all beliefs except the Christian belief. Revelation 17:6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. This is symbolic language. Most Bible theologians and Bible scholars agree that this is a presentation of a religious system, of a false religious system that will draw all religious ideas and mindsets into one. See, there's a reason why we hear so much about inclusiveness today. And, you know, that the world, and again, I'll talk more about this when we get to that lesson, but the world is trying to form a unity, just like the Tower of Babel. See, there was world unity at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. The only problem with the Tower of Babel was it excluded God. We're going to unify this world together, but we don't want the one true God in it. So, boop. But what did God do? It says the Lord came down. Oh, come on, somebody. The Lord came down. Confuse their language. All of a sudden, could you imagine that? Could you imagine somebody speaking Chinese and trying to communicate with somebody speaking Arabic? You know, that had to be a sight. But see, that was the beginning of the Antichrist system right there. And it's been with us ever since. See, the Tower of Babel, they were trying to build a tower into the heavens because they were occultists. And they believed in the power of the universe. See, New Age garbage has been around from the very beginning of time. It's nothing new. Satan, you know, there's nothing. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Devil's been doing the same old junk he's been doing from the very beginning of time. You know, nothing has really changed. We just see a greater manifestation of it. It's become more sophisticated now. All right, so Revelation 17:6, you know, it is believed by most biblical scholars and theologians that this represents a religious system, a false religious system. Religious conditions. All right, here's number three. False prophets and false teachers shall be in abundance, who will present teachings that are rooted in deception. Paul told this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:13. He said, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right, so they will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All right, so deception does not remain stagnant. It goes into greater levels of deception. See, it doesn't stay in one place. It continues to get worse and worse. Evil men and imposters, they get worse and worse. Deception, it gets worse and worse. False prophets, false teachers, they will be in abundance. And that, my friends, is why we better know that we know that we know that we are a student of the Word of the living God, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for instruction, for correction in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we got to know that the Word is in us. The psalmist said, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we got to get the Word in us. Make sure that it's touching our lives and changing us from the inside out. Because all of these conditions, we are right in the midst of it. Spirit of Antichrist is at work. Religious system is being formed. It is what is called the apostate church. The false prophets and false teachers will be those who are key components, key personnel, who will be responsible for this system, this false religious system, but in the end, God destroys it and He judges it. Hallelujah. He judges it. Praise God. I've read the end of the book. And we win. Amen. Unrighteousness might seem to prevail, but ultimately it will fail. This system will fail. The political system will fail. Nations will fail. Economies will fail. The Antichrist system will fail. All of that will fail, but in the end, there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness forever. So, my friends, we need to know. I saw this on a church sign. You're looking for your name on a bottle of Coke, but is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because on the day of judgment, could you imagine that? On the day of judgment, when the Lamb's Book of Life is open, and the angel says, it doesn't appear. Those are going to be there. Check that list again. It's got to be there. Check that list again. But the Bible says, those who were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast out of the eternal presence of God. Eternal judgment, cast into the lake of fire. My friends, this is what the Bible says. I know TV preachers, they don't want to preach this stuff today. Nobody wants to address this. You know, we've gotten so much positivity, and I'm all for, you know, positivity. I love preaching faith and all of those things, and I'm all for that. But as ministers of the gospel, God says specifically that we must declare the whole counsel. And we got a lot of people say, well, I had a friend of mine say, well, let's go. I know a better page, man. Let's turn the page. Let's get off that page. I know a better page. Nope. We got to declare the whole counsel of God. We have to warn people. There were two main things, and I challenge you, don't just take my word for it. Check it out yourself. Be a Berean. Study. Go to the book. Make sure what I'm saying is validated. But I challenge you, go and begin to read through the book of Acts, and you will see, and all the messages that they preached, the early apostles, there were two main things that stood out in their ministry. Number one, Jesus is coming back again. Number two, there's going to be a day of judgment. Get ready for it. That was the two things. Now, do we really hear a lot of that being declared today? Those two main thrusts? He's coming back, and there's going to be a day of judgment. All of us have to be judged. That's why Paul said, knowing therefore, listen, this is what he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade them. We got it. We've got to tell them. People have to be told, you know, that there's a day of reckoning. There's going to be a judgment of every soul. The Bible says there'll be a judgment of nations. The United States will be judged as a nation. The Supreme Court, my friends, will be judged. Every president that has ever served will be judged. Every preacher that has ever preached the gospel will be judged. Think about it and how it should change the way we live and how we live our daily lives. Every word, Jesus said, every word out of our mouth will be revealed at the day of judgment. Every motive in the heart will be revealed at the day of judgment. Every thought will be revealed at the day of judgment. My. These are sobering things, I know. But if it can get us on fire for God, it's worth it. If we can understand where we are, where we're headed, it will change us. And we'll see God move, and he will use us. God wants to use us in these days, in these last days, in this last generation. God wants to use us to touch people's lives. So we can't always tell them what they want to hear. We have to tell them the truth. When I got born again in 1976, used to have little illustrated gospel tracts. They were called Chick Tracts. That was the guy's last name, Chick. I was into chicks at the time. So it really resonated with me. Is that Chick Tract? All right, let's see what this is all about. Hallelujah. Chicks, yeah. But his last name was Chick, Jack Chick. And they had I used to have those things with me in class and in high school. And I'd give them out to all my friends. I was trying to get everybody saved. Either you're getting saved, you're not going to be in my class, praise God. Or you're not going to sit next to me, praise God. I'm going to preach at you, hallelujah. But I'd give those out to everybody. There was one little track. It was entitled, You Goofed. And that particular track, it was about this, it was a story of a young man who had he was contemplating receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then there was this slickster guy. You know, he was a smile, very charismatic type guy, always smiling. You know, he had money, he had popularity, and he put his arm around him, said, "Oh man, all that religious, that's a bunch of religious baloney, man. Come on, stay with me." He said, we're gonna live life together. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna party. You know, we're gonna just enjoy ourselves. We're gonna have a good time." So the young kid said, "Yeah, man, that sounds good to me. Let's do that." So then he turned away from the gospel and he followed this guy, and then they end up dying. I can't remember in the track if it was seemed like it was maybe an automobile accident or something, but they both died and then they're in hell. And they're in hell, and the young kid, he points at this slickster, and he says, "You goofed." And all of a sudden, that young slickster pulled his mask off, and it was the devil. And he said, "No, you goofed. You didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." Come on, somebody. Man, I don't want to goof, hallelujah. All right, let me finish this up here. We got 5 minutes. Here's the last section, how to thrive in the last days. I believe this is very important. Here's some action points. How to thrive in the last days. Number one, I have to be spiritually alert, maintaining a prayerful lifestyle. Here's what Jesus said. We're still in Luke 21. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing." Anybody ever done that? Yep. Drunkenness. Yep. Cares of this life. Yep. "And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all of those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So my friends, I ask you, are you spiritually alert today? Are you spiritually alert? He said, "Take heed to yourselves." What has your heart? Are you carousing? Are you in drunkenness, cares of this life? He said, if you are, it'll keep you in darkness, and that day is going to hit you unexpectedly. Because look at what he said. He said it's going to come on all of those who dwell on the face of the earth. So watch therefore and pray. Be watchful and be praying. Watching and praying. See, that's how we are spiritually alert. So if I'm watching, that means that I'm in the Word of God. So let's ask God to give us, let's ask him to give us that desire. Give me that heart for the Word. Give me that heart for prayer. Give me a heart to want to be spiritually alert. Help me to commune with you, to be right with you. See, this is how we're going to thrive in these last days. These are our action points. I have to be spiritually alert. All right, here's the next thing. Stay anchored in the local church. My friend, you cannot occasionally attend the house of God. Hello, somebody. You cannot occasionally. You have to stay anchored in the local church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? What day is approaching? That's right. Well, we just established two things. He's coming back. There's going to be a day of reckoning. Also, the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we cannot forsake the assembling. We all need to be connected to a local body of believers, not just a place that we go to occasionally on a Sunday. I know Saints games are right around the corner. Who cares? I do. Because I will be watching. But I will not miss my appointment with you guys. Now, I might go after if somebody blesses me with tickets. But yeah, I bet you would. But I'm not going to prioritize. I'm not going to put anything. See, because I want to thrive in these last days. I want to thrive. I want to know that God is working. And I want to prioritize the things that are most important. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. We need to be encouraging one another, speaking into one another's lives, helping each other along the way. People of like precious faith. All right, here's the third and last thing. We must keep an eternal perspective. Never lose sight of eternity. James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Amen. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Never lose sight of eternity. Never lose your eternal perspective. Never lose sight of that. See, I believe that in the days ahead, and when God begins to shake things up, and He shakes nations, I mean, we're already seeing the shaking. I was just listening to a report this morning. There's extreme concern among political people about ISIS, and and all of the experts, they're kind of on pins and needles because they know that something's coming. Something's coming, and they're concerned. They're scared. They're concerned. My friends, can I tell you this? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You know, what is our life? It is even a vapor. It's only here for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Never, ever, ever lose sight of eternity. Keep that eternal perspective. It will get you through the end. It will help you to thrive. It will help you, my friends, to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because it's going to soon all be over. And only what's done for Christ will last.